Excellence Podcast, featuring District 6 Superintendent of the Year and Superintendent of Blackford County Schools, Chad Yenser. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff Butts, Executive Director of the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents. This Leading with Excellence podcast allows listeners to get to know the incredible individuals who are leading Indiana's traditional public schools with excellence and reminds us that our leaders are also our neighbors, friends, mentors, and lifelong learners. These authentic conversations help bridge the gap between the office of the superintendent and the amazing people in that seat. You know, superintendents are often seen as administrators who make big decisions about budgets, policies, or facilities. And although that is all true, this podcast shifts that perspective by hearing superintendents speak in their own voices about their community, school district, and personal stories. We'll discover the superintendent as a listener, learner, and servant leader, someone whose leadership centers on vision, relationships, and a genuine care for people. Well, let's dive right in and learn more about our guest, Chad Yenser. Welcome, Chad.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, District 6 Superintendent of the Year. Let's start with that. Were you excited when you heard that your peers had selected you as the top superintendent in your district?
I really was. It's an honor and a privilege to be named the Superintendent of the Year for the district. It was a little surprising, to me, but I'm thankful for the recognition. And I think anytime you win an award like that, it's a great reflection on the team and the folks that you serve with. You know, we don't do anything in the superintendency in complete isolation.
That's right.
A great team.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about Blackford County Schools. Where are you located? What kind of district are you?
Yeah, we're just north of Muncie. We are a countywide district, a small countywide district.
One of just a few.
We have three buildings now. We're about 1,400 students. We have a 7 through 12, a 3 through 6, and a pre-K through 2. It's a great little community. There's a mixture of a couple small towns and then a rural aspect as well. There's a lot of community pride in the schools. Recently, the basketball team made it to a regional championship game. And I think everybody from Hartford City was there. Everybody from Blackford County was there. The gym was packed. So it's a place that takes a lot of pride in their schools. And it's generally a very supportive community.
Yeah. And what brought you to the district?
I grew up in the area. Okay. I grew up just north of Wells County, and I've anchored a lot of my career from where we lived. We lived in the community my wife and I did that we grew up in.
Yeah.
And I taught early in my career at Blackford, and I became an administrator early in my career. I was the assistant principal at the high school 25 years ago, and then was an administrator in some other places, and then had the opportunity to come back to Blackford in 2017 as superintendent. And it's just really been a great opportunity for me to work and serve in a district that I'm very committed to. My parents were both graduates of Blackford County Schools. So it's been nice to have an impact in the community that's close to home.
And you have children?
Three girls, yeah.
Yep. And are they in your schools as well?
No, I'm getting some age on me. So my oldest daughter is married. She has two kids. So I'm in the early grandpa mode. We moved a half hour south of Blackford to be closer because the kids are all in the Indy area. My middle daughter is married as well, and she lives over by Kokomo. And the baby is still a student at IU, but she'll graduate next year. So, yeah, getting out there.
So with the move, you were able to get a little bit of separation from the district, so you can actually escape a little bit each day and get ready as you're going to work in the morning. Has that been a bit of a shift for you?
Yeah, it's been nice. I've got about a 30-minute drive to work, which is, just fine. It allows me to clear things. And then
you can listen to two of these podcasts each way, right?
Yes. We can listen to some podcasts. I do some of that. Usually it's a good time to work a phone call to a board member or something like that as well. And then, a lot of times that half hour drive home allows me to decompress and be a little more present when I do get there.
I'm sure your wife appreciates that.
Sometimes.
When you're not being a superintendent, what are the things that you like to do to just kind of clear your head and enjoy?
Yeah. So my wife and I, we like to walk in the evenings. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of nights we'll walk 3 to 5 miles, and that is just kind of a reset. We'll do that pretty well year round, unless it's ridiculously cold. The biggest thing is you kind of asked just a minute ago is just trying to reconnect with the kids and check in on them during the day. We'd love to do that in the evening and in the weekend times to connect with family. as well. We like to, you know, like to read and just decompress, read things, you know, outside of, you know,
of your job.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
No education
sometimes,
reading.
Sometimes that is, it's hard because there's, like, you know, it never ends.
Right. Do you have a favorite, genre that you like to read about, a favorite author that you like to read? Is there anyone in particular?
Yeah. Just recently, I've been trying to read some faith-based fiction, mm-hmm. you know, those types of things. They're just a little different.
Yeah.
But no specific, but you know, that is a downtime activity for me.
Yeah. I read the Left Behind series. And yeah. That was pretty interesting for me.
Yes. Yes. Indeed.
What's your favorite part about being a superintendent? You've been a superintendent for quite a few years now. What's your favorite?
Yeah, it's interesting. I do still love interacting with the kids, and I do at times miss the principalship,
yeah.
you know, because the relationships you can build in the principalship or in the classroom, you know, are so much greater. I do like, and it's a quiet thing, but I do like how the things that I see and do that the majority of even maybe within our administrative team, they don't see and do mm-hmm. in terms of budgeting and planning and finance, how those impact. Like, for example, it's been a desire of the district for almost 50 years to have a performing arts center.
Oh, wow.
And even in these tough economic times, the board and I, you know, we've developed and worked a plan over the last few years to really, you know, improve infrastructure and roofs and all of those things as we've downsized, but to create a window where without impacting taxes, mm-hmm. we were able to create, and we're pouring footers next week, but on a performing arts center, you know, for the community, something that's going to
not just for the schools, but this is going to bring in the community as
yes, well. Yes, that's the desire of the project and the board's desires. We've tried to sell this, and really it went through, which is really interesting in these times, mm-hmm. you know, with very little opposition because we were able to do it, you know, without impacting our levy or our tax rate. And so, you know, something like that, you know, becomes a 1 minute thing on Facebook, mm-hmm. you know, that behind the scenes has been 5 or 6 yeah. years of work.
A lot of planning, a lot of discussion.
And talking with bond counsel and, you know, doing all of those things. And now, you know, to get that to fruition, mm-hmm. It's one of those things. It's in some ways still a little thankless, but you can look at it and you can say, you know, that's something with all the partners, but you really impacted, you know, to provide for kids in a way mm-hmm. that they've never had.
You mentioned 3 schools.
Yep.
All on the same campus?
No, the 7 through 12 is, yeah, there's 3 separate campuses.
Okay.
So the 7 through 12 was originally just a 9 through 12. Mm-hmm. And over the 10 years I've been there, we've actually closed 2 buildings and consolidated 3 times just to right size the district. And so, yeah, the 3 separate campuses. Yeah.
In your community, how do you allow people to see your heart? Yeah. How do you allow them to see where your passion is and why you make the decisions you make? Do you have a strategy on that?
Well, I try to be very open. Mm-hmm. I'm not a closed off person. I would say, you know, I try to be genuine in all the conversations that we have. I try to be present within our community. You know, even in a small rural-based community, you know, there's a couple redevelopment commissions and economic development. So I'm working with many of the community leaders in that way. And in all those conversations, I just try to be very clear that I'm, you know, working in the best interest for the kids that mm-hmm. we serve and the folks that we care for, but also trying to be a good partner, you know, for our community.
If I were to stop into your high school, your 7th through 12th grade mm-hmm. building, and ask one of your students, tell me about Mr. Yenser, what would they tell me?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. You know, I have to admit, Jeff, that's one thing you get into it for a decade and you look back, and it's something I'm challenging myself to get back to. A few years ago, we restructured the positions in my office, so I essentially wear the hat of CFO and all of those things. And I've pulled away a little bit from the buildings. I think that the ones that do know me, that I've interacted with, they would tell you that there's always a smile, there's always a joke, there's always an opportunity. I actually kind of miss the old days where the kids would interact on Twitter
yes.
when you closed school,
yes.
you know, and those things. Those were pretty fun. But I am in the buildings a lot, and you know, a lot of times I love being in a primary school building. You know, where you know you have to explain what the job is, and you try to find the right thing. You know, to tell a kid, "Oh, I'm the guy who closes school."
The president. The president. You own the buildings.
Yeah, I own. I get that one a lot. That must be universal. Do you own this building? Are you the principal's boss?
Yeah.
You know, but I think they'll see somebody that at my heart, you know, loves kids and loves the fact that we're in a profession to change lives.
We sometimes say that the superintendent can be lonely, but others would say it's only lonely if you let it. Mm-hmm. Tell me about those people that have had a significant impact in your life and your leadership journey, the people that you surround yourself with, your network. What does that look like for you?
Yeah, so it's evolved over time. I'm very thankful. One of my close friends, I served as an assistant principal under him. His name is Brian Roush. He's in leadership at Hamilton Southeastern now.
And, yes.
I was his assistant principal, and he moved into the superintendency while I was a principal in another district. But to have him throughout this journey, you know, to be not only a friend, but he's a little, he was a little in front of me in getting into the role.
Yeah.
But he's somebody that I could call, you know, and still continue to call with that. And then even though we're countywide, so that becomes a little bit of an island at Blackford Schools.
Mm-hmm.
Then I work with the Delaware County group a lot. We eat breakfast together once a month. There's a text chain that goes, you know, a couple times a week.
Sure. Hey,
have you seen this? Or, you know, and that group, because it's important to have a cadre of folks that are making the decisions that superintendents have to make.
Yeah.
Because I remember, just a quick little funny aside from, we have a 30-minute admin team meeting each week on Zoom, a huddle we call it.
Okay.
You know, we did that during COVID.
With fellow superintendents?
No, this is my building.
Your building, okay.
My building level people. So 30 minutes every Thursday at 1:30, we're going to check in with the admin team. And I'm telling this story to tell like how I've found myself changing. One of the principals had an activity day, and as the reward, they were going to pop a water balloon over the principal's head. But I caught myself, the first thing I was looking was, how was the gym floor protected?
The important things.
Yeah, and I'd apologize to the team. I said, I'm sorry that jumped in, but it's funny how over time, you in this role, you tend to look at things differently.
Yeah. You 100%. Absolutely.
Just because all of those things, you know, impact your day.
Well, and similarly, you mentioned closing of schools and inclement weather. The perspective that the superintendent has when making all those considerations about student drivers and safe roads and whether or not a bus can get through the you know, through the snowbank or whatever it is very different than sometimes what our parents are considering and our students, for sure.
Oh, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. I'm a little old school on that. I'll be up in the district by 5, you know, and I'll be out there with the maintenance director and what, you know. But it is those decisions are never popular.
Yeah. When you think about the future of Blackford County Schools and the students that you have in your schools, what are you most excited about?
Yeah, I think I'm most excited. We have a tremendous team. I'm so thankful for our teachers, our support staff, you know, the receptionists in the building, our bus drivers, you know, our administrative team. And I think we have three goals at Blackford County Schools. It's to connect, to influence, and then achievement. You know, we believe first and foremost in the power of relationships, and that relationships are a lever to move kids through influence to greater things. And I think that we've bought into that, and our team really tries to embody that. And what that means for the kids that we serve is just greater possibilities. Mm. You know, just each and every day trying to move. Blackford is a, you know, we're a community eligibility provision school. We're a high poverty area, and we believe and take very seriously our role in impacting students' lives and giving them opportunities to change. So I'm just excited as we work together with this team. There's a real desire to level up in terms of opportunities, in terms of student achievement, and we're making strides towards that every day.
You mentioned community eligibility. You know that when students are in your schools, they're getting healthy meals.
Yes.
When you close school, they don't.
Yes.
And so that also weighs into some of those decisions.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. When, you know, thinking back as we've got a little age on us, you know, back to the COVID shutdown, like meal delivery became the first thing we took care of.
Yes.
You know, and then We worried about teaching and learning.
That's exactly right. Taking care of their basic needs.
Yeah.
Chad, as we get ready to wrap this up, I always ask our superintendents that we are interviewing, what does leading with excellence mean to you, especially in the context of public education?
I believe it just means keeping in mind why we're there, to like I said, not just to repeat a phrase, but to influence the lives of children each and every day, to make a positive impact and create new opportunities and new possibilities for the students that we serve. And I believe that you do that out of being candid, being honest, being as transparent as possible when you're making decisions, and just working in the best interest of not only the students but of the people you serve that are employees of your corporation and the entire district. So I don't know if that's a succinct definition, but that's what I think of when you ask about excellence.
Chad, thanks for being my guest.
Thanks for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest has been the Superintendent of Blackford County Schools and District 6 Superintendent of the Year, Chad Yenser. Chad's story reinforces that excellence is a journey, not a title. We hope today's conversation helped you to see the heart behind the role of the superintendent. Today's conversation reminds us that leadership is not only about decisions, it's about people, passion, and purpose. This has been another episode of the Leading with Excellence podcast from the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents.